Before we jump into this week's episode of the Semi-Americans podcast, I need to relay some very important information. As the situation in Ethiopia escalates due to foreign policy-related incompetence, those who stand for Ethiopia's success will not allow foreign powers and the terrorist organization, the TPLF, to dismantle the democratically elected government of Ethiopia. There will be a globally coordinated effort to come together and have our voices heard. A global day of action. Washington, D.C., Atlanta, L.A., San Francisco, Minneapolis, Denver, Houston, Tampa, Seattle, Chicago, New York. Sunday, November 21st, 1 p.m. local time at their respective locations. The flyer with information will be posted on the Semi-Americans podcast Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We will also be including the links to Get Fact ET in the episode description. A great organization whose objective is to respond to disinformation regarding the events in Ethiopia. Please make sure to follow them on Twitter and Instagram. To all my Ethiopians and Eritreans in the DC, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, North Carolina area, please gather your family members and friends, both Abisha and non-Abisha, to come out to the protest with you. The challenge is to bring at least one non-Abisha ally. I myself will be joined by about 5 to 7 non-Abisha Americans alongside my Abisha family and friends. It's important to have non-Abisha allies join us in support for Ethiopia because the livelihood of Ethiopia is at stake and it needs to be the concern of the world. Spread the word. We need to show up in big numbers. The truth shall not be ignored. Sunday, November 21st, 1 p.m. Make sure to show up at the White House. See you all there. Ethiopia forever and after that. Welcome back, y'all. It's the Semi-Americans podcast. Here we have Manny Flacco, a.k.a. Emmanuel Brano, and Eddie the Petty Eduardo Ramirez.
Let's go.
Any other nicknames today, bro?
Nah, no nicknames.
No?
The Weatherman.
The what? Ho-ho-ho-ho! We're not gonna go into that right now. Anyways, we are excited about bringing in a couple of episodes. We're probably going to shoot a couple back-to-backs. But it'll all be quality content. So make sure you continue to listen, spread the word, and please share our podcast with friends, family, your enemies even, and the like. Whatever. Whoever. Wherever.
Yeah, try to find some peace with your enemies.
Hey, well, not always. If you got beef, it's okay to keep the beef going. I still got beef that's 10 years old. And that is perfectly fine, even as an adult. Anywho. Hey, beef is okay. That'd be a whole segment.
Yeah.
So, last episode, What's Peace for You? We heard from a couple, more than a couple of the listeners. Do you want to start off with one of our most loyal supporters? Shout out Birdo. He gave us permission to share his thought process was. So
Birdo sent us a response on what peace is to him. So Birdo said, I think the convo is bigger and you can stem into so many different directions with this because everyone's peace is different. And I don't think you truly are at peace. You can really only be content with where you are in life or in a situation. Peace could mean happiness, right? But then the question is, when are you truly happy? And once you are happy, can anything break that happiness?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to continue looking for it. To answer your question, I do believe we only chase peace, or we only chase to be at peace. And once we think we made it, we go back to the drawing board and start over.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to put a timeline on being at peace, I'd say it would be once we're way older, and we've been through our whole lives and have finally learned about ourselves and everything around us. But that's a big if in my mind.
Mm. Yeah, shout out Birdo. I mean, a lot to process right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. And we really appreciate everybody who, you know, who hit us up personally or responded to, I think it was an IG story or I don't know what it's called. The status update.
Yeah, but I think overall we got a pretty good consensus on what the answer is, right? Is like you're constantly chasing that peace.
Yeah.
Finding that peace within yourself and then trying to like continue that process.
Yeah. One of my coworkers, he gave me permission to share this as well. Shout outs to him. He said, satisfaction with what you're doing and knowing no wrong has been done by you. And that's kind of where he kept it. And he also threatened me and said, I could get philosophical on you. And I deferred. I was like, that's cool. It's okay. I thought what he said was good enough. But yeah. And another one that we had was loving yourself unconditionally and believing that everything happens for a reason, which I think we both can relate to. And then one of the other ones was coming to terms with trauma and feeling 100% comfortable with yourself. So we really truly appreciate everybody who opened up and gave us their personal definitions of what peace is for them. We use that as a way to learn and as a way to gain stronger perspectives, diverse perspectives. So really appreciate all the engagement from our listeners. And really, you guys give us the drive to, you know, pursue certain topics. So anytime anybody has any thoughts on something that we may have said or has any thoughts about future topics, reach out. We're really, you know, we check the inboxes and whatnot pretty frequently. So reach out to us on Instagram, and we always link it on the episodes. Reach out to us on Twitter, whatever works best for you. Reach out to us. And if you know us personally, reach out to us through text message or whatever.
One topic that we're planning on discussing at some point is conditional and unconditional love, right?
Yeah, you know, I have my thoughts on it.
And I think maybe loving yourself is really the only unconditional love, right? What are your thoughts
on
that?
I don't think so.
You don't think
you're
so?
You're trying to bait me into a conversation. I'm trying to stay on topic today. That'll be one of the episodes, definitely.
Right.
It might actually be the next episode if we want to really get into it. Or it might be an afterthoughts episode. Who knows?
Maybe.
We hope y'all enjoy the football story episodes. Yeah, so things didn't really work out for Eduardo and I, but we're still here. And, you know, we're still standing.
I did play rugby after that, so
he did.
It kind of did prepare me for that. No distractions on that one.
I forgot about that. I did only not concussions. Play rugby.
Only concussions, no distractions.
Do you mind sharing with the listeners what you do now, and kind of, you know, share with us the journey that led to that?
All right. So right now, I am a project manager for a general contractor.
Woo woo! And don't be mad humble either, bro. You worked hard to get to where you are, so.
Yeah, so we do a lot of government work.
Mm-hmm.
So renovation of Senate office buildings. We're doing some work over at the Capitol. The company built the inaugural stands for this last president.
Okay.
Actually, they built them the past four elections.
Dang, so. Even 2016, Doc?
Yeah, even 2016. We do
Boo.
A lot of yo, I wasn't there for that one. I mean,
and yeah, no, I don't blame you.
I was there for the riot though. The riot that happened this past yeah.
January 6th,
yeah.
What?
Yo, they gotta send those people to jail.
Oh yeah.
Let's just be clear about that.
Let's go.
But yeah, it was nasty, bro. Those people are nasty. There was like poop. Genuine poop, like human feces.
Ew.
On the stands, it was a big mess. Yeah, some of the guys, I wasn't like on site that day.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to some of the guys and they were like, Yeah, we were kind of just standing at the stands and started seeing people like rushing in, and we're like, let's get out of here.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so we do a lot of government work. It's all right. I mean, would I say that this is the career that I wanted growing up? Probably not. But I think that I'm learning to find things that I'm passionate within. Right? So
like finding your way around the field that you're already in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, am I passionate about buildings and renovations and new buildings and all of that sort of thing? No, not exactly. I'm not passionate about construction materials. Like, that's not it. But what I am passionate about is the people that do the labor. You know, the trades guys.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, my dad was a carpenter, or he still is. He's been a carpenter for 30 plus years.
Wow.
And, you know, I've seen him. Actually, when I was a kid, when he was out of a job, I used to drive with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I wasn't, you know, summer school or during summer break or something like that.
Yeah.
He would wake me up in the morning, 6 a.m. And I drive around to just different projects, like all around the Beltway. He would just stop at different projects and fill out job applications.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, it's funny because when they start teaching you about resumes in school and stuff, I'd be like, yo, you gotta put a resume together. You gotta like start talking to superintendents, make sure you have their numbers, their contact information so you can provide reference. And at first he was a little resistant to it. He was like, nah, you know, I could do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while he started like really piecing it together. And, you know, in the past couple of years, he ended up being a superintendent on a project that I was working at.
Wow. So you actually used the tools that you're learning to help out your dad.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I know how resistant some of the, 'cause Hispanic men are very like, you know, and I'm sure they've dealt with their trauma, and think that, you know, they have to be the sole provider and that, you know, very resistant to getting any sort of help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I relate to a bunch of the guys that I work with.
Mm-hmm. And what's the makeup of your current company? So, and I think it's important to talk about this because you could speak to it from a level of different positions within the company, right? So you, I don't know exactly how it works, but you have like upper management, I'm sure, and people that are like the higher ups or whatever. And then you have the everyday workers. And yeah, so how does that breakdown work in terms of demographics? So taking a look at like ethnicity and education level and experience, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, demographics wise, most of the tradespeople are either Hispanic or Black.
Okay.
Then these
are the chains on the bike, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is what keeps the wheels turning.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Keeps the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are Hispanic or Black. There's actually no, we call them hammer swingers.
Okay.
Like they're the ones that are actually, you know, doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of one white person.
Wow.
That's actually swinging the hammer. Then you have.
Is that how it is in most of this field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, when it comes down to like union workers, that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Like the electricians, the plumbers, pipe fitters, welders. You have white tradesmen that are actually doing that. But, you know, to get into some of these programs, you have to go through an apprenticeship program, go to school. And I mean, most of the Hispanic guys don't even, you know, they speak English enough to communicate, but not well enough to go through a whole program.
Mm-hmm.
So the hammer swingers are mostly Hispanic or Black.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have foremen and superintendents, which lead the crews out on a project, right? They're supposed to be directing the work.
And what's the breakdown there demographically?
I'd say about 60% white, mm-hmm. and then 40% Hispanic and Black.
Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a pattern the higher up you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the office, it's, mm-hmm. it's at least at the middle management, sure. I guess, level is like 50-50. Mm-hmm. And then upper management is mostly white.
Okay.
Like all white.
I gotcha.
Like literally all white. No, it's crazy, bro. Like I sent you a picture that they sent out.
Oh, the company retreat.
Yeah. They had a company retreat for executive management mm-hmm. positions. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is Diversity Week was, so they had the executive management retreat 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Diversity Week was last week. And then this week they sent out a picture of the executive management retreat. Mm-hmm. It's like all white people. Mm-hmm. And I hear the president when the president of the entire company mm-hmm. Has his presentations, he's like, oh yeah, diversity, you know, we're diverse enough. And I mean, in terms of numbers and like mm-hmm. people actually performing the work, mm-hmm. sure. I mean, but it's construction, like,
right.
That's typically what it is. But mm-hmm. once you get into upper management, it's not.
It's a different story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, they're going to present the numbers that look.
Yeah, definitely.
Beneficial to the company.
Yeah. Yeah. Paints it in a better light.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you see your role as far as, because this is something that bothers you, right?
Yeah.
The lack of diversity. Yep. What do you see your role in order to address that? And in a way, I'll ask that second question after, but what do you see your role as far as addressing that increase in diversity?
So originally when I came in, because you don't start saying these things until after you've worked for a while, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you first enter the workforce, you kind of notice a couple things. You might notice some slightly racist remarks, mm-hmm. but you know, you brush it off thinking that, you know, it's part of an evolving thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I came out of college in 2015, it definitely wasn't like, we hadn't gone through the George Floyd events. Mm-hmm. BLM had been a thing, but it wasn't, you know,
as expansive as it was.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So I was aware of these things. Mm-hmm. But I was also in a much more selfish mindset where mm-hmm. I was like, okay, to be my role and responsibility now that I'm out of college is to get as far up the ladder as I can. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, you know, maybe I can be a VP or, mm-hmm. you know, an executive project manager, managing, you know, other project managers, blah, 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 setting company policies, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, now that it's been 6 years and I'm a little bit less selfish and, you know, have a better understanding of how I can help others. I really see my role, and this also plays into the knowing what you want to do, regardless of whether or not you like your career. Mm. So now that I'm trying to find some type of enjoyment out of what I do, right? I realize that a lot of the guys that I work with, mm-hmm. like I see my dad in them. Mm. In the sense that, you know, these guys know their craft, they're very smart, but I don't think they've ever been given the tools or they even think that they could, you know, achieve a higher position. And it's pretty difficult because, to be honest, I feel like the expectations of a Hispanic person are really just to produce. Mm. Right. Hispanic and the expectations of Hispanic and Black people is to produce, you know, and
as we've seen historically.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's like when you start asking questions, it's almost like you're trying, they make it seem like you're trying to overstep. Mm-hmm. Right. So So what I've started to do, or what I've started to focus on, is really trying to pinpoint some of the guys that do want to do a little bit more than just the field work,
mm-hmm.
and try to teach them a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, technology's advancing and construction's, you know, an old industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to implement new stuff, but I teach them about the programs that we work with. I share like financial numbers of like, hey, this is how much we have in the budget for this. This mm-hmm. is, you know, get them thinking a little bit more outside of just the tools that they typically work with.
So your way of bringing people in is to provide them with information and give them knowledge and kind of give them the game as far as, hey, this is what happens on this side.
Yeah.
And that's your way of, quote unquote, like giving back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, these guys have been doing construction for 20 to 40 years. I mean, there's like some 60, 70-year-olds
right.
that are still working out in the field, in the cold, in the hot. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So, because, you know, I've seen my dad, and it's difficult. You know, as a kid, you always want your dad to be around to, like, I don't know. You just imagine the typical family
mm-hmm.
or what they've shown on TV of like the dad playing with his son or whatever. But my dad would always come home at like five or six, tired, just like dead mm-hmm. ass tired. So, mm-hmm. so then I know that these guys work hard for their families and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at like 60 or 70, I mean, your body's got to be worn out.
Yeah, for right? sure.
So I know that, you know, some of the older ones that, you know, I can't give enough information to in such short amount of time to try to get them to do something other than field work.
Mm-hmm.
But I still try to like give them pointers. You know, there's this like 70-year-old who was working on the private projects, which are, they don't pay as well as like the public government funded projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get them on a government project just so he could get the wage rate that's, you know, the government sets.
Mm-hmm. More competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to focus on like building up some of the, you know, middle-aged guys, younger guys, giving them that information so that they can start thinking of moving away from the field. Because, okay. you know, to be honest, they have the most experience and, you know, if we can move them up the ladder, then
right.
it kind of helps everybody below as well.
Right, right. Kind of positioning them in a better manner, allowing them to reach new opportunities, new heights, and all that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And that's really what it is. It's like that. I feel like we discussed upward mobility in one of our like previous episodes, and that's really the way to do it. Right. Is if you're not afforded the same opportunities, even with work experience, even with having attended the right like programs as far as school and all that, then you're going to need someone else who's going to help level the playing field a little bit, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and having, being bilingual has also helped me a lot, kind mm-hmm. of push that angle, because, you know, there will be white superintendents or the operations manager who wants to deal with somebody who can communicate in English.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, given the fact that we're having a labor shortage, there are Hispanic guys that are capable of running a project who might not be able to communicate in English. And I've been able to step up and be like, hey, look, I can communicate with this guy.
Right.
So, you know,
you can relate to him on a different level.
Yeah. So yeah. like, just let him run it. Like mm-hmm. this guy can run it, and I'll just communicate with him in Spanish and try to make things happen that way.
Nice.
You know, that develops leadership, leadership qualities in a person. So I'm trying to make that happen.
What would you say is the best aspect of your job, or like your favorite aspect of it?
So aside from helping the guys out,
yeah,
I think my favorite part is probably looking into the business side of it. And trying to see how, you know, because every business is trying to make profit, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to say that they hide certain things. But they try to coat things in, you know, in a brand new coat of paint to present it to like middle management and the trades guys as something different.
Okay.
Right. So like, for example, my boss has told me that, and you know, maybe this isn't the way he thinks all the time, but he told me one time when I was telling him about people telling me about burnout and how we needed additional help. He said, "Look, man, my goal is to increase profits by 3% every year. And that's what I'm trying to do." So after he told me that, you know, I was a bit upset because they always try to say that they care about the guys and, you know, safety is number one, all of that corporate stuff. So I think in my own little rebellion, in my own little way, I try to figure out what's going on, like corporately, try to see where things are going, try to know where things are, learn it for myself, right? And really try to, I know that if they want to withhold this, you know, all this information and what their grand plan is for all of this, right? All I can do is try to help everybody below, pretty much, right? Not below in the sense of worth, but just the people that work for us and who we manage. Because genuinely, when I see these guys, you know, it reminds me of my dad, and I want them to be happy. I don't want them to be overworked. I don't want them to be, you know, too tired that they can't enjoy their family. So I do my best to try to help them out, and that's really what the enjoyment that I get. You know, and I'm not saying that every company is like this. I'm sure, you know, my goal is eventually to be able to have something where I can provide a more fair option for some of these guys to work. Like something to help them develop into superintendents or into leadership positions where they won't be, you know, necessarily killing themselves. And I won't be able to help everybody, but, you know, those that want to be helped will be helped.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. It's about the betterment of people that look like you, are like you, come from similar backgrounds perhaps, and making sure that they aren't stuck, right? They're not stuck as far as their ability to improve within life. You're in a special position because you have the benefit of knowing what they're going through and what they've been through. And you also have the benefit of having the opportunity to have, like, to receive education here and have a stronger understanding of the inner workings here as well. And that allows you to say, hey, no, I know what's going on. This is a way for us to maneuver and navigate through things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and just to add a little story to this, and you know, it's a little bit of I think it was me coming into the workforce and a little bit of a culture shock because my parents were pretty strict, right? And I wasn't much, when I talked to my parents, it wasn't necessarily a conversation. It was like them talking to me. so I wasn't comfortable, you know, talking to somebody that was older, mm-hmm. just because in our culture, you respect elders, right? Like right. That's a given. And, I came into my first construction job and they were like, all right, go with these two guys and, you know, do what you have to do. I had to take some measurements or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these were some, you know, 40 or 50 year old guys. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell them what to do. I was like 20, 21, 22.
Right. Yeah.
And I wasn't comfortable with it.
It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah. 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 Cause I was like, I guess technically I'm their boss, but yeah. Like, do they see me? I probably didn't give myself enough like mm-hmm. credit for where I was at, but mm-hmm. luckily these two guys, you know, they helped me out. And after we were done with the test that we had to do, one of the guys comes over and he's like, look, you went to school, like, you know, you made it to where you are mm-hmm. and you're our boss now, mm-hmm. you know, so gain that confidence to mm-hmm. tell us what to do. Don't hold yourself back just because we're older, just because we might know a little bit more about the work.
Right.
Like, you get that confidence and direct us mm-hmm. and we'll do what you tell us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that really helped me out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That really helped me out is somebody older just coming by and being like, you could do this. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared to tell us.
Giving you that confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it, you know, coming in, I was like shaking. I was like, I'm gonna tell these guys what yeah. to do. That's like telling my dad what to do. You know,
yeah.
Like I could never tell weird. My dad yeah. what to do. Yeah. You know, so yeah, that was a pretty good experience, and I think that helped me out a lot.
What's your vision ultimately? Like, do you see yourself kind of following in the paths of like mentorship or? Do you see yourself, I mean, I'm kind of asking you kind of, it's not your typical like job interview question. Hey, 5 years from now,
yeah.
you know what I mean? But no, in your mind, I mean, obviously the podcast is going to take off and we're going to be real big and famous and all that. I get it. But besides that.
Yeah, no, the goal would be to have a minority owned business. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the profits are shared with the tradesmen mm. and there's a development of our people, mm-hmm. you know, I think right now with the things that are going on with college and, you know, first generation students going off to college and mm-hmm. not necessarily being successful or knowing what to do. Right.
Mm-hmm. Not being well supported.
Yeah. I think there's an opportunity for those people to develop trades, because mm-hmm. in my opinion, I don't think everybody needs to go to college. Mm-hmm. I think there are people that work well with their hands or that are driven enough to make their way through the process of getting into the office. Mm-hmm. You know, you could find different paths to. Really, any position that you want.
Right.
So giving opportunity to minorities, really, to develop out of that. Because right now, I mean, like I'm telling you, when you get a picture of your executive board and it's all, mm-hmm. you know, it's like 40 white men and 4 white women.
Yeah.
Like, it's not very inspiring.
Right.
Yeah. It's not very inspiring. Mm-hmm. Like and that's who we're making profit for right now, right? Where mm-hmm. how's that profit distributed? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, my goal would be that to have a business that's
a big vision, yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. I think that's pretty commendable. I think it's probably a good way to end this first part of this episode. You said a lot of interesting things. You know, you said a lot of things that were personal to you. You discussed not only your development throughout the professional world, but your personal goals, which sounds like it doesn't necessarily align with upper management as far as your job is concerned.
But it's good to have the vision and these goals in mind. So thank you for sharing, sharing your thoughts regarding that. I think we're like-minded in that way. And I guess we'll talk more about my side of things on part two.
Yep, you're next.
Yeah. Make sure to join us. Thank you for everybody who listens. Continue to spread the word. And we can't wait to join you guys next week.
Yep. This has been another episode of the Semi-Americans Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. Make sure you follow us, subscribe, do whatever you got to do to listen again. Please. I'm begging you. All right. We'll catch y'all on the next one. Cool. Let's go. Peace. Thank you.